the 8th day's over. You have only 2 more days left. Out of these 2, only 1 day to work seriously. Even 1 day is good enough if one really works seriously, works exactly as the technique wants you to work, you get so much benefits. Another important thing, keep on understanding the technique properly, so that even going back home, you will make use of this technique properly, you will practice properly, you will apply it in life properly. Otherwise, even if you work hard and work seriously and you don't work properly, the benefits that you should get by this technique, you will be missing. Keep on understanding 2 important aspects of the technique. Both are equally important. Awareness and equanimity, they go together. Like 2 wings of a bird, they must be equal in size and equal in strength. Otherwise the bird cannot fly. Like 2 wheels of a bullock cart or the horse cart, they must be equal in size and equal in strength. Otherwise they won't work. So both are equally important, awareness as well as equanimity. If you are aware and you are not equanimous, the purpose is not served. You are equanimous but not aware of the sensations, the purpose is not served. If you are aware of realities outside, gross apparent reality, it is good, but this is not vipassana. Even the gross reality pertaining to your physical structure, your mental structure, physical structure, all the activities of the body, you are aware. Mental structure, somebody solidified gross emotion comes in the mind and you are aware. It helps. But this is not the teaching of the Enlightened One. He wanted you to work with the sensations on the body. There were teachers before Buddha. There were teachers contemporary to Buddha. There were teachers after Buddha also. And nearly all of them, unless someone who was involved in any kind of immoral activity. Otherwise, every real saintly person will advise the same thing. The objects of your sense tool. Don't react to these objects of the sense tool. The shape, the form, the color, the light, the sound, the smell, the taste, the touch, the thought. They may be pleasant, they may be unpleasant. Don't react to them. Don't generate craving. Don't generate aversion. This was not something new given by Gautama the Buddha. This was not his enlightenment. His enlightenment was to go to the depth of the problem. Everyone else was giving importance to Salayatan, the 6 sense doors, and their objects, as if the craving and the aversion arises because of these objects of the 6 sense doors, which at the apparent level is true. But his discovery was Salayatan, Pachaya, Phasa, 6 sense doors come in contact with the respective 6 objects. And phassa pachaya vedana, with this contact starts a sensation on the body, pleasant or unpleasant. And vedana pachaya tanha, your craving, your aversion starts after you started experiencing the sensation on the body. That link was missing. So people kept on practicing to come out of craving, to come out of aversion, but it was all at the surface level. The root was never touched. They didn't realize that they have to go to the level of the sensation on the body to take the root of the impurities out. This was the contribution of Gautama the Buddha to the mankind, to come out of their misery from the depth level. And if we miss this, then awareness is not complete awareness. Awareness of the sensations on the body and equanimity towards the sensations, pleasant or unpleasant, these are the two wheels of this cart. These are the two wings of this bird. Both must be equal in size and equal in strength for your progress. You started observing your respiration and observing respiration on a small area. When he wanted you to do this, there was a meaning behind it. If you work on a bigger area, then mind will not become that sharp. Then only the mind will feel very gross sensation here, very gross sensation here, some pain here, some pressure here, some heat here, but can never become sharp. The smaller the area of awareness, sharper the mind becomes, more sensitive it becomes, and by the time you reach the third day, you started feeling sensations here. You further narrowed it down and you felt sensation on this area. It became easy for you to feel sensations everywhere. This is a very important station of the path of liberation. One has to reach this station where one feels sensations everywhere, gross or subtle, but everywhere. No part of the body should remain blind or blank. That means without any sensation. Sensation is there all the time, everywhere. But your mind should become sensitive enough to feel them. Very important station. But you can't do anything, you can't force that. It just happens naturally. Your job is to keep moving, stay where there is no sensation, stay for a minute, keep moving, stay for a minute. Very patiently you find your mind is becoming subtler and subtler, is becoming more and more sensitive, and it starts feeling everywhere. Second important station, again very important station, the dissolution of the entire structure, mind and matter. It turns into mere vibrations, vibration, he called it bhanga. Bhanga means dissolution, total dissolution. Again, you can't do anything. Let it happen naturally. You keep on observing, your mind becomes subtler and subtler, sharper and sharper, more and more sensitive. Automatically, the law of nature is such, the solidified, intensified, gross sensations, they start getting divided, dissected, disintegrated, divided, dissected, disintegrated, and they start getting dissolved, dissolved, dissolved. That is bhanga. You start getting a free flow of very subtle vibrations throughout the body. It's a very important station, and yet he says it is a very dangerous experience. Dangerous in the sense that having come through all the unpleasant, gross, solidified sensation, suddenly you come to this very pleasant flow of vibration. According to the old habit pattern of the mind, you start developing craving and clinging for it. Oh, so wonderful. And he says, this is the danger, very big danger. One can remain equanimous with the unpleasant ones, expecting that they will pass away and I will start experiencing subtler ones as others have started experiencing. But when the subtler one comes, one gets so much attached to it. This is a stage very, very frightening, he says, very dangerous. One has to be very cautious not to develop any attachment to this pleasant sensation, otherwise the progress will stop, and not only progress will stop, regress will start, because you will start generating now craving, craving, clinging, clinging, and whenever you miss this pleasant sensation, flow of subtle vibration is not eternal. It comes, it goes away, Again some very deep-rooted sankhara which otherwise would not have come on the surface. Because you started feeling a free flow of subtle vibration, because you reached the stage of total dissolution, then only very deep-rooted sankhara will come on the surface, which might be of the type, a very gross nature, and you start feeling again gross sensations, unpleasant sensations, and you feel so depressed. You start feeling, I am regressing, I had such a wonderful sensation, and now look, it's missing, and now I'm again with this unpleasant sensation. You have not understood Dhamma properly. You have started playing games of sensations. This is what one keeps on doing the whole life. A sound, pleasant or unpleasant. A sight, pleasant or unpleasant. A smell, pleasant or unpleasant. A taste, pleasant or unpleasant. A thought, pleasant or unpleasant. Now similarly, a sensation on the body, pleasant or unpleasant. And you keep on reacting with craving, with aversion. What makes the difference? You have not understood Dhamma. In spite of repeated warnings, we see some students, of course few, but there are, who keep on taking courses after courses, courses after courses, but they don't understand the technique. They don't understand Dhamma. They keep on relishing the pleasant sensations, and they keep on having aversion towards the unpleasant ones. They keep on playing this game, game of sensation, game of sensation. This is not vipassana, not at all. You have to be very careful, understand the essence of the technique properly, so that you work properly, and you get the benefit of this technique properly. Unless you go to the root level, the sensation level, and unless you have equanimity at the sensation level, whatever sensation, every sensation, gross or subtle, pleasant or unpleasant, has the same characteristic of arising, passing. This is what you have to experience. When there is a solidified, intensified, gross sensation, then arising is clear. But after some time, sooner or later it passes away. It seems to stay for some time. It arises, seems to stay for some time and passes away. When this very intensified, solidified, gross sensation gets dissolved, turns into vibration, the characteristic remains the same, arising, passing, now with great rapidity. As it arises, so it passes. As it arises, so it passes. With great velocity, great frequency, characteristic remains the same. This characteristic must be very clear. Clear in your mind, look, it is changing. And therefore, no craving, no aversion, no craving. No, this is how you change the habit pattern of your mind. Otherwise, deep inside, this process of multiplication, sankhara after sankhara, every moment you generate some sankhara or the other. Because sensations are there every moment, so long as one is alive, every moment there is some sensation or the other. And the deepest level of the mind is constantly in touch with these sensations. Whether you are asleep or you are awakened, 24 hours it is in contact with the body sensations. Like you are in deep sleep, when you say in deep sleep, it is only your conscious mind which has gone in deep sleep. The so-called unconscious is always conscious of the body sensations, always conscious. A mosquito has come and bitten, the unconscious, the so-called unconscious immediately feels unpleasant sensation, drives away the mosquito, kills the mosquito, still unpleasant sensation is there, will scratch and rub. And like this whole night, mosquitoes will come bite, and you won't know, your conscious mind won't know. That shows there is a big barrier between the conscious and the unconscious. Similarly, when you are awakened, your unconscious mind will be busy with objects outside at a very gross level. But the unconscious, the so-called unconscious, it is the conscious which remains all the time busy with the outside object. The unconscious is constantly in contact with the body sensation, and it keeps on reacting. There is a pressure somewhere, it reacts. There is a pain somewhere, it reacts. There is itching somewhere, it reacts. That reaction is continuous. That has become the habit pattern of your unconscious mind. Unless you change this habit pattern at the deepest level, you are not coming out of your misery. Not coming out of your misery. You are just trying to amend the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits of the tree. But the root is decaying, is unhealthy. So long as the root is unhealthy, your tree can never become healthy. Your conscious mind can never become healthy so long as the unconscious remains unhealthy. So Buddha found out that we have to work with the deepest unconscious level of the mind. This is what he started doing. If this point remains in your mind all the time, that I have to work with the deepest level of your mind, there are many other techniques, many other kinds of meditations, we are not here to condemn them, but so far as this technique is concerned, straight away it starts working with the depth of the mind. And if you miss that depth of the mind, our purpose is not served. Because the process of multiplication continues, sankhara after sankhara. Every moment you generate a sankhara of craving or aversion, and all the time a sankhara of ignorance, you don't know what is happening. This is misery. Every sankhara is a misery. Multiplication is there. In the outside world also, in the world of vegetation, this process of multiplication is there. So also deep inside, process of multiplication is there. And there is a way to stop this multiplication and change this habit pattern. Like outside world, a small seed of a banyan tree. In tropical countries we have a very huge tree, banyan tree, very tiny seed, size of a sesame. This small tiny seed contains this huge banyan tree. You plant it, a tree comes out which grows so huge, and it stays for centuries, very long life. One seed has started giving fruits. Every season, hundreds upon hundreds of fruits. And so many centuries, fruits after fruits, millions of fruits, one seed only. However long life this tree may have, a time will come when it will become old, will decay, will die, fall down, no more fruits. At the apparent level, one may say that one seed has given millions of fruits, but after all, the story ended. The story does not end. The multiplication continues. Understand how it continues. The seed that one planted and this huge banyan tree fruits it started giving. The law of nature is such. You don't have any fruit which does not contain the seed of the same quality, one or more. Every fruit will contain seed. And again, this seed contains a huge banyan tree. And millions of fruits, millions of seeds, and every seed has got a huge banyan tree. Oh, endless process of multiplication, endless process of multiplication. But nature has also helped to understand that how this process can be stopped. It is true, every seed has one huge banyan tree. But this seed requires a fertile soil. It requires water. It requires fertilizer, manure. You throw it on a rocky land, it can't grow. Banyan tree cannot come out of it. But our difficulty is that these seeds of sankharas, millions of millions of them are coming because of our seed that we planted once, so many are coming now. And we keep on giving good fertilizer to every seed that comes. Keep on giving very fertile soil to them. Oh, my sankhara, you keep on growing. Oh, my misery, you keep on growing. You keep on growing. You keep on growing. What ignorance. This is what one keeps on doing. Like one carries a tank full of gasoline, petroleum. One spark comes from outside, comes in contact with it, and a big explosion, huge explosion. Thousands upon thousands of new sparks. Without understanding that every spark that you have generated now will bring hundreds and thousands of sparks in return. And then again every spark that comes, you will be giving all that gasoline again. Multiply. At the intellectual level, one understands this multiplication is so dangerous for me. I should not generate sankharas. Every sankhara is so harmful. Every sankhara is multiplication of my misery. And yet, it is merely an intellectual understanding. Unless you practice properly at the level of sensation, you can't come out of it. One knows very well, somebody is bringing fire towards me to burn me. The best thing is that I keep my water hose ready. When he comes, I open my water hose and extinguish the fire immediately. That one understands at the intellectual level. But at the actual level, somebody is bringing fire. I open my petrol pump. Burn, burn. I throw a bucket full of petrol over him. You burn, I burn, both of us burn. And later on you realize that was so wrong. I should not have done that. When fire was brought towards me, I should have used water to extinguish it, not the petrol. And you go to your God Almighty, to this God, that God, Goddess, and pray, I made a mistake. Please excuse me, I made a mistake. Next time, the same mistake. Next time, the same mistake. You're not coming out of it. It isn't help. Because you don't know what is happening deep inside. Deep inside, there is always this volcanic eruption, always this negativity, the reaction of negativity, and you can't come out of it unless you start observing the sensations on the body. You have to feel the sensation, one important part of the technique. You must make your mind so sharp, so sensitive that you feel the sensations. And another part of the mind, another part of the technique, remain equanimous. Remain equanimous. Don't react. Don't react. Keep on understanding. This is anicca. This is anicca. And this is not a false belief. Don't accept because Buddha said so. Don't accept because the tradition says so. With your own experience you find things arise. Sooner or later they pass away. They arise, they pass away. They arise, they pass away. When everything gets dissolved, then arising and passing is with great rapidity. But the same technique, the same reality, arising, passing is there. It is anicca. It is impermanent. It is impermanent. And like this you start changing the habit pattern at the deepest level of your mind. That is very important. One has to understand this. Law of nature is such that once you stop generating new sankharas, the old ones will start coming up on the surface and get eradicated. You remain equanimous, they will come on the surface. You remain equanimous, they come on the surface, they become weaker and get evaporated. This is law of nature. This is what was realized by this enlightened person. This was his discovery. When he said, Sankhara Pachaya Vinyana, the chain link, the Vinyana, the mind consciousness, the consciousness of the mind, every moment it arises, passes away, and the nearest cause of this is Sankhara. Every time you generate a Sankhara, the Vinyana of the next moment, the consciousness of the next moment arises. Again you generate Sankhara, the consciousness arises. Next moment, mind of the consciousness of the mind arises next moment. Like this, this process goes on. At the end of the life, very strong Sankhara will raise its head and give a strong push and Sankhara and the Vinyana arises in another body and it continues. This truth was realized, how to stop it. So long as you keep on generating Sankharas, this flow will continue. You stop generating new Sankhara, the reverse process will start automatically. An example, this flow of mind and matter, this is the flow of the life, mind and matter. For the life of the matter, for the flow of the matter, you have to give some material food. With the help of this material food, it continues. So also for the flow of the mind, a mental food has to be given, the sankhara has to be given, then only it continues. Say one day you have not taken any food, you have fasted, and yet the flow of life continues. You decide 2 days fasting, it continues. 5 days, 10 days, one has fasted for 1 month, 2 months, ultimately the body dies because the food, you stop giving food for so long. You stop giving food for so long, then why it took so many months to die? Because the old stock was there. Whatever accumulated you have, fats, etc., it started consuming that. When that was also consumed, there was no more food, it died. The same principle for the flow of mind. You keep on giving sankhara for the food of the body. If you give even once in 24 hours, it is good enough to sustain it. But for the flow of mind, every moment a food must be given. The feeding must go every moment. And by this technique you learn, you don't give a food. This moment you are not given a food. You are just experiencing, you smiled, anicca, anicca. Neither craving, nor aversion, nor ignorance. You are just aware and not reacting, no sankhara. Still the mind flow has not stopped. Next moment. Next moment again you are not given any sankhara. Next moment again you are not given any sankhara. And yet it continues, continues. Same principle, how it continues with your old stock of sankharas. When you are not given, when you are not given a new sankhara for the flow of the life, old one has to come on the surface. It comes on the surface and a new vijnana arises. Again you are not given any sankhara, old one will come on the surface and new vijnana arises, and like that it flows, flows, flows. When all the sankharas are consumed, then you are out of it. You are liberated from all the miseries. This principle is there, but only by experience one starts understanding how the old ones come on the surface. You generated a sankhara of anger. You will find the sensations all around are very unpleasant sensation because a biochemical reaction has started. And because of this unpleasant sensation, because of this biochemical that has started flowing, again you generate anger, new sankhara you generated. Again this biochemical gets generated and there is an unpleasant sensation. And because of this unpleasant sensation, again you generate anger and this vicious circle. This is what is multiplication of your misery, continuously, 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 sankhara after sankhara, sankhara after sankhara. You generated anger. And as a result of that, some biochemical reaction has started, very unpleasant sensation has started. You don't react. Again, it continues for some time, you don't react, you don't react, you don't react. The habit pattern starts changing. To change the habit pattern, one has to go to the depth of the sensations and don't react, and you find how it starts clearing away, clearing the stock. Like example is given, you got fuel, a heap of fuel, burning firewood, and there is fire, it is burning. As it is burning, you throw some more firewood on it. It is burning, you throw more firewood. The new firewood that you are giving to it, the fire starts consuming the new one, and the old one remains deep inside. Layers after layers, it goes increasing, and the new one comes, and the new one comes. You stop giving new fuel. The fire is consuming. Sooner or later it will consume the whole thing, and you will be out of it. People understand it in different ways, how the old ones get eradicated. The fact is, it gets eradicated. How it gets eradicated? A research scientist of this part of the world came to my teacher about 30 years ago. He was a friend of my friend, so common friend. He came, he learned that in Burma there is a technique and there is a teacher who teaches you to come out of the habit pattern of negativity and live a peaceful life, harmonious life. All the accumulated defilements of the mind get eradicated by this technique. And being a scientist, he wanted to examine it, how it happens. He came. My teacher, normally a new student is not given more than 10 days course, but somehow he made a decision that this is a reserving case, gave him a longer course straight away. And 10 days anapana. He was working on that. And reaction started. So strong reaction, at times you will see that he's jumping about 6 inches from the floor while he's meditating. And my teacher keeps on smiling. One day he tells me, you go and see how he is meditating. In the cell, each individual has got a meditation cell. Through the louvers I see. And I see that he is standing on his shoulder and whole body is shaking as if he is possessed. Possessed by some ghost, what's happening? I went and told my teacher, what's happening? And he smiled and he laughed. He said, let it happen. Good. It's good for him. And he carried on. And later on we came to know that he is the research scholar of skycraft. He has discovered and made continental ballistic missiles with nuclear heads. Such a person, what kind of sankhara? Creating hellfire for millions of people to die, what kind of sankhara? It has to come that way. And my teacher is smiling, let it come, let it come. At the end of the course, he feels so light, so happy, it's wonderful. And my teacher says, good,
all that stuff came out, and you are lighter now. He says, I am lighter, this is the fact. I feel happier, this is the fact. But I can't understand that my impurities, my defilements of the mind came out of these sensations. How can I accept it? My teacher laughed, said, good, don't accept. Buddha also used to say, don't accept. Don't accept just because I say so. Don't accept because the tradition says so, the scripture says so. You keep on experimenting yourself. And when you understand with your own experience and you find that, yes, this is true and this is good, then only accept it. And he went back home. And he writes a letter after a few days that this meditation has given me so wonderful result. I was such a short-tempered person, so much of tension in me, always having very cross relations with those who were working under me or my superiors, and even didn't have very good relationship with my wife. Now, everything is changed. And I understand not that everything is changed, I am changed. A big change has come in me. And I find everywhere, it is so good, it is so good. Yet I cannot understand what these sensations have got to do. How my impurities went away by sensation. I am a scientist, how can I accept it? After a few years, he came again, worked again for a long course. And going back home, he writes a long letter with a big article. He's a metallurgist, specialist in purifying the metal used in the spacecraft, etc. He says, we have got a principle, a theory. A particular metal has to be purified, it must be ultra pure. Even one particle, one molecule in a million molecule should not be a foreign molecule. It must be 100% pure, ultra pure. And for that, we melt it, then we take out a ring, which is 100% pure. And this hot ring, we pass over this rod-like shape of this metal which we want to purify. And this ring, because it is pure, it develops some kind of magnetism. And it starts pulling out all the impurity from this rod. All the molecule, even one in a million, cannot stay. It has to go out invisibly. And the molecules which are there, they are in so much order. It gets so much strength. Oh, this is what Buddha found out. This ring of pure consciousness moving from head to feet and feet. If this ring is not pure, it doesn't work. If this ring is reacting, craving, aversion, it doesn't work. But because it is pure, it is not reacting, no craving, no aversion, it keeps on purifying. This is his way of understanding. Different people understand in their own way. But the fact is that it does purify. Somebody comes to me and tells me, well, there is a principle of these batteries with charge battery. We keep on charging. It gets charged. We stop charging. We do nothing. And it starts getting discharging automatically. We do nothing for discharge. We just stop charging. Oh, this is also one principle. Somebody comes and tells me, you see these toys, where you have these, you twist the, you wind, you keep on winding, and then you leave it, and the toy will dance something, and then unwind it automatically. For unwinding, you do nothing. You just keep on winding. And Buddha gave one example. Like you have a rope, two ends of the rope, you keep on twisting, and suddenly leave it. Par, it will get opened up. This is law of nature. You stop generating new sankharas, the old one are bound to get eradicated. You keep on multiplying, you keep on generating new sankhara after new sankhara, the process of eradication cannot start. There is always a process of multiplication, that means process of your misery multiplied. Every time the sankhara is multiplied, every time your misery is multiplied. So simple to understand and yet so difficult, people forget it. And they keep on generating sankhara, misery after misery. This is what one has to learn. Be aware of the sensations and don't react to the sensations. The awareness of the sensations and not reacting to the sensations. So simple. This is the technique. You miss this and do anything else, then the result will not be there. You be with it and the result are bound to be there. Little by little, your own experience will say that. Like a ordinary housewife, she buys some soap or some detergent, the dirty linen is there, you use the soap, the dirt goes away. It is not the job of that housewife to see what chemical was there in this soap which went against the dirt and how it was purified. This is the job of the research scholars, the scientists, let them do. But for the ordinary person, the misery is there, the suffering is there, because of this habit pattern of generating sankharas after sankhara. You stop generating sankhara and you find you are coming out of your misery, your habit pattern is changing. People who are very much addict of their anger, they are coming out of their anger. Addict of passion, they come out of their passion. Addict of any kind of impurity, they start coming out of it. The result is there. So the proof is there because you experience it. And you accept it only when you start experiencing the truth, the result, which is good for you. And this is what the whole life he kept on teaching. This is what he kept on teaching. Equanimity. Equanimity. Your equanimity inside must manifest with equanimity outside. Equanimity inside, in your daily life now equanimity should come. Equanimity should come. Vicissitudes of life will be there. The teaching was not merely for monks and for nuns. It was equally for the householders. Number of householders used to come to him. One group came and told him, "Sir, we are not prepared to become monk or to become nun. We have to live as householders. Will the technique work for us? Can we also get liberated?" Surely, technique is technique for all. One becomes a monk or a nun, then there are no responsibilities of life. One can give whole life for this purpose and the result come earlier. But as a householder, there are multifarious responsibilities, and with all those responsibilities, you can't give that much time, so it takes little longer. But it works, even for the householder. And he gave a sermon for the householders, how the technique works for the householder. All the responsibilities of a householder, one has to look after all the responsibilities. If you are a householder, you don't run away from your responsibility. Your responsibility towards your family members, towards the society, towards your relatives, all that you are performing well at the same time. You are practicing. And he gives 32 welfare of a family. Family man, family woman. How to acquire those 32 benefits of Dhamma. One superior than the past, superior than the past. And like that, when he comes to the last, highest one, he says, "Puttasa loka dhamme chetangaya sanakampati asokam virajankhemam etang mangalamuttamam etang mangalamuttamam." This is the highest beatitude of life. What is it? Puttasa loka dhammehi. When you come in contact with the vicissitudes of life, ups and downs, and everyone has to come in contact with vicissitudes of life. Chittang yasana kampati. And your mind does not get shaken. It remains firm, balanced. Ashokam. You don't start crying. You don't generate unhappiness in your mind. Virajang. You don't generate any impurity in your mind. Khemang. You don't generate a feeling of insecurity in your mind. You always feel secured. You are on the path of Dhamma. Nothing can go wrong. This is the highest beatitude. Equanimity with all the vicissitudes of life. All the vicissitudes of life. Especially when unpleasant things are happening in the life. It is easy enough to be pleasant when the life flows along like a sweet song. But the man worthwhile is a man with a smile when everything goes dead wrong. And everything goes dead wrong so many times in our life. Everything goes dead wrong. Yet you have to smile, not like an actor or an actress. Smile from inside. Because the sensation will be there. Very unpleasant sensation will be there. And you smile at the sensation. Anicca, you are also anicca. Let me see how long you last. And this is what the Buddha's teaching is. Law of nature is. Remain equanimous in every situation, all the vicissitudes of the life, and you find wonderful. Even in his own life, whatever he was preaching, he was practicing himself. In his own life, even an enlightened person has to pass through vicissitudes of life. Ups and downs are bound to come. He started teaching this Dhamma to five of his friends, companions. which spread to 50, which spread to 500, to 5000, and like they started spreading. Nearly the entire population of northern India started practicing this in his lifetime. People get benefit. Some remained very much against him, partly because they didn't understand what this person is teaching. They thought perhaps he is teaching something against our religion, our tradition, and our religion will get finished by his teaching. And partly because it was a question of livelihood for them. They were priests. And his teaching, if people start following his teaching, there is no more rites, rituals, religious ceremonies, nothing. You just observe yourself and purify yourself and live a healthy life, happy life. What these rites and rituals will do? And if there are no rites and rituals, they will miss their livelihood. So opposition was there. How to stop his preaching? There was one way in those days. There used to be big debates, public debates, and a lot of hooliganism was there, gundaism was there. People will come with large number of their followers and shout, and there is no actual debate. It's more rowdyism. But still, that was popular there. And if somebody is defeated, then his teaching people won't accept. So they will come to fight with him, to debate. But when they come to the gate of his ashram, they start scratching their head. He's a very intelligent person. How to debate with him? Not easy even rowdyism, because he answers so calmly. Let us make our points. How to discuss? What to debate? And let one of us will be a leader. You be a leader. You be a leader. Somebody says, all right, I'll be a leader. Let us jot down all the points. Jot down all the points. You don't carry long matted hair on your head? Yes, yes. In those days, all the hermits, they used to have matted hair on their head. You don't have long mustache or beards? Yes, yes, long mustache or beard. You don't have the garland of beads around your rosary? Yes, yes. You don't wear a skin of a deer, animal, around your waist? Yes, yes. You don't smear ashes on your body? Yes, yes. Then suddenly somebody says, all these questions have already been raised. And whenever people raise these questions, he smiles. He says, I don't like it. You like it, you carry on. I'm not quarreling with you. You carry on if you like it. I don't like it. How can you quarrel with somebody that he doesn't do? Let us find out something wrong in his practice and his teaching. All right, tear this away, new list. What is he preaching and what is he practicing? He preaches sila, morality, and he practices morality. How can we argue on that? Morality is wonderful. If somebody living the life of morality, teaching others to live a life of morality, we can't quarrel. What else? He is teaching samadhi. And what is samadhi? Mastery over the mind. Mastery over the mind? I could not get mastery over my mind. I have been trying so many years. If somebody has got a technique which makes you the master of your mind, it is wonderful. How can you fight? No. What else? He is teaching panya. What panya? A process by which all the impurities of the mind go away. Impurities go away? My impurities are not gone even little. If impurities go away, wonderful. How can we fight on this point? No. What else? Nothing else. He doesn't talk anything else. He says, I teach and I practice only sila, samadhi, panya, sila, samadhi, panya. All other things, your beliefs, your dogmas, your philosophies are beyond me. I got nothing to do with them. You carry on whatever you like. But these three are important. This is the essence of Dhamma. They go away because they can't argue. But somehow something should be done so that his preaching gets stopped. And one way, find out some scandal. If there is no scandal, create a scandal. And for a monk, what scandal? There can be only two types of scandals, money or woman. Money, we can't create a scandal of money because he has left all the householder's life as a prince, all the luxuries, and keeps nothing with him. But woman, yes, something can be done. Because men and women both come to learn Dhamma from him. So they trained one young, beautiful girl. Every evening she will go to the ashram of Buddha, sleep under a tree with very heavy makeups and all. And next day with open hair she will go out. Oh, I had a wonderful night with Shamana Gautama. I had a wonderful night. People listen, what happened? What she is talking? 2 days, 3 days, 7 days. Then she stopped that. After about 8 months, there was a big congregation. Large number of his disciples were there. He was teaching Dhamma. the ruler of the country, King Prasenjit, was there, the commander-in-chief, the prime minister was there, Anath Pindak was there, Mother Vishakha, large number of people. And she comes. He placed a piece of wood, a timber, on the stomach, tied with some string, and covered with her petticoat, and then came, shouting and abusing, "Oh, shaven head, if you have nothing for your coming child, ask these rich people, your disciples, they should do something." And everybody, nonplussed, what she is talking? Talking about Buddha like this? Buddha smiles. Only love, only compassion. "Oh, my child, you know the truth of what you are saying. I know the truth of what you are saying. Only love, only compassion." It was very easy for him to ask the ruler, who was a great devotee, "She is speaking a lie, take her head off." Her head would have been taken off, but then Buddha would not have been Buddha. Only compassion, only compassion. This vibration of compassion, and she became so nervous, the string became loose, the piece of food came down. Dhamma works. Katvan katamudaranga yugagabhiniya chanchayadutthavachanang janakayamajye santena soma vidhina jitva munindo. He was successful by the calmness of his mind, by the harmony of his mind, by the peace of his mind, not by quarreling. You can never be successful. This he practiced in his life. So many situations came in his life, and he kept his mind so calm, so tranquil, so pure, so harmonious, good for himself, good for everybody. One more incident. An old Brahmin, he was very angry that this fellow Buddha is teaching something which is totally against our religion. My own family members, my sons, my daughter-in-law, they all stop these rites, rituals, ceremonies, and they sit in a corner and do this respiration, desperation, sensation, what they are doing. He will spoil all our religion. I must go and see that I open his skull. This is the only way to stop his teaching. And he goes there, very angry, comes nearer, abusing. Buddha says, "Old man, you seem to be very, very agitated. Come, sit, let us discuss your problem." He had made a decision. I won't start discussing with him because he is a very clever person. The moment I start discussing with him, my anger will go away. If my anger goes away, I can't open his skull. I must carry on with my anger. And he keeps coming nearer, nearer, abusing. Buddha says, "Old man, just answer one question. Don't you get some visitors at your house?" "Yes, yes. So many visitors come to my house. What are you going to do?" "Tell me, some visitors might be bringing some present for you." "Yes, yes, some visitors do bring present. What are you going to do?" "A visitor brings a present to you and say you don't accept this present. What happens?" "What happens? The present remains with him who has brought the present." "Same thing I want to tell you, old man. You came like a visitor to my place. You brought all these presents of yours, abuses. I have not accepted them. They are with you. Your property, not my property." The old man was a very intelligent person. Only the small veil, curtain of ignorance, which did not allow him to understand the truth. This curtain got broken and he started understanding. How is it? The whole life, people bring presents to us, present of one abuse. In return, we give 10 presents. He brings 10 presents, we give 100 presents. These exchange of presents, you be unhappy, I be unhappy. Gautama, Buddha, how you learn this technique where you don't accept any present? "Sit, old man, sit. Close your eyes. Observe respiration. Observe respiration. Observe sensation. Observe sensation. You must observe yourself. Unless you observe yourself, you can't come out of this problem. This is a big problem for everybody." This Bharadwaja, practicing, became an arahant, fully enlightened person, and whole life kept on serving people. The whole technique is such that unless you learn equanimity at the depth of the mind where sensations are there, you can't expect the results. And when you work it that way, sensations are there and your equanimous sensation, anything happening outside will bring a sensation in the body. Pleasant or unpleasant, anything that happens outside will bring a sensation in the body. And if you are equanimous with that sensation, then whatever decision you make is a healthy decision. whatever action you take is a healthy action. It is not that this technique will make you inactive, it will make you very active. Not that I am a vipassana meditator now, like a vegetable, let anybody come and cut me, I don't care. No, no. Full of life, active life, the life of reaction will go away. And reaction is always full of negativity, full of misery. Now action will be positive, good for you, good for others. This change will come. And many a times, you will have to take very strong action, vocal, physical, very strong action. But deep inside, the mind will be full of love, full of compassion. Wherever strong action is necessary, one has to take. Like an example, a child is running towards fire or towards a poisonous snake. For the child, this is some toy to play. You can't allow. You use all your force and keep the child away. The child will be crying, the child won't like it, but you have to keep the child away. There is no anger towards the child. There is only compassion. There is only goodwill. You want to help the child, but you have to use the strength. Like a very strong person, an aggressor, is harming a weak person, an aggressed person. And you say, I am a vipassana meditator, I don't care. They suffer for their own karmas. No, Dhamma won't teach you that. You will take very strong action. You will stop this aggressor from taking this wrong action. If you are not a vipassana meditator, then also you would have taken such an action, very strong action against the aggressor. But then you would have very much compassion towards the aggressed, the weaker one, and very much anger towards the aggressor. Now it is different. You have got compassion for the one who is weak, but you have got more compassion for the one who is the aggressor. Ignorant person, he does not know what he is doing. He is not only harming this weak person, he is harming himself also. He is generating so much of negativity, so much of ill will, and that goes against him. He doesn't understand. And he is so ignorant. He doesn't understand the soft language. We have to use hard language. This is what he understands. This is the only language he understands. You have to take hard action, very strong hard action, but full of love, full of compassion. First you have to examine yourself. Whenever you have to take hard action, you have to examine yourself that these are the sensations because of the situation outside, these are the sensations and I am not reacting to sensation. And this very person against whom I am going to take hard action, I have got compassion, nothing but compassion, nothing but compassion. Then yes, the technique has started working for you. Many incidents in the life of my teacher Syaji Ubakhin, at times he used to take very hard action. And sometimes those who were not very close to him, they will doubt what sort of vipassana teacher he is. Sometimes he shouts so strongly. How is it? But those who were very close, it was so clear to us. When he shouts, there is no trace of anger. And yet it appears as if he is very angry. Deep inside, only love, only compassion. Of course, he was a very strict disciplinarian, even in his office when he was working with the government. And so also with the center, whatever rules are there, discipline is there. Every student must work according to discipline. Because the purpose of one's coming here is to learn and to develop in Dhamma. If one is not working properly, then no use. So at times he will be very strict. There are meditation cells. Somebody will come out of the meditation cell and start walking here and there. He will question, hey, what you are doing? I said, sir, it so happened, I came out, all right, I go back. After some time, again he comes out. Hey, what happened? And again, some excuse. And when he finds this fellow is not working according to discipline, then sitting in the hall, he will say, Goenka, I have to use some harsh words for this person. Let me go down. And the cells are just about 5 or 6 steps below, and he goes there, knocks the door, and he shouts. And this is the shout of a great vipassana master. This is like an earthquake. The whole vipassana center starts like trembling, shouts, and then comes up those 4 or 5 steps, smiling and laughing. Goenka, I have shouted on this fellow. I have shouted. What kind of shout is this? So much of love, so much of compassion. So in life, many a times one has to take hard decisions because the person does not understand any other language. Hard decisions. But always love, always compassion, always goodwill. If there is even a trace of ill will, you have started harming yourself. How can you help others? If you can't help yourself, you can't help anybody. First, you have to help yourself. Be strong to help a weak person. If you are lame, you can't support another lame person. If you are blind, you cannot show path to another blind person. First, get yourself very healthy. Help yourself first, and then you will start helping others. Buddha said, there are four types of people I see in this world. One group of people, like running from darkness towards darkness. Another group of people, running from brightness to darkness. Third group of people, running from darkness towards brightness. And the fourth group of people, running from brightness to brightness. He never gave any sermon in mysticism, Svakkhatu Bhagavata Dhammo. The teaching is so clear. So whenever he said something which people may take different meaning, he explained it immediately. What is darkness? What is brightness? How one keeps on running from one to the other? The first group, from darkness to darkness. Someone is full of misery in different ways, health-wise, money-wise, family-wise, society-wise. All around there is misery, misery, misery. This is darkness, life of darkness. There is no happiness at all. And yet, every moment this person is generating nothing but anger, hatred, anger, hatred. I am in this position because of that so-and-so, because of so-and-so, because of so-and-so, anger towards so-and-so, hatred towards so-and-so, ill will towards so-and-so. Darkness is already there, and one is planting seed of darkness. Misery is already there, one is planting seeds of misery. This anger, hatred, ill will bring nothing but misery, nothing but misery. So his future is also full of misery. Present is misery, future is misery. Present is darkness, future is darkness. Second person, running from brightness towards darkness. Brightness is quite happy, money-wise, family-wise, health-wise, society-wise, good status and everything. But madness. Such an ego-centered life, such a self-centered life, hating everybody else. They are all useless fellows. I am so smart, that's why I am so happy. I have got so much money, position, power, status, hating everybody. So now he is happy. Because of some past good karmas of the past, he has got everything pleasant around. But every moment, the seed that he is planting is seed of misery. Misery. So from brightness, this person is running towards darkness. From brightness to darkness. Third person, exactly same as the first person. There is misery all around, but there is wisdom inside. One keeps on smiling. Oh, this misery has come because of some past bad karmas of mine. Let me settle my account. I carry on my vipassana, anicca, anicca, anicca. Somebody seems to be a reason of my misery. Certainly this person is not the reason of my misery. He has just become a vehicle. My misery was bound to come through this person or through some other person. So he generates only love and compassion towards such person. He is planting seed of love, of compassion. Now there is lot of darkness, but future is brightness, brightness. Sooner or later this darkness will go, and then only brightness will come. The planting of the seed now is seed of brightness. It will bring brightness, will bring happiness. And the fourth, from brightness to brightness. All the facilities of the life are there. Money-wise, health-wise, society-wise, family-wise. But keeps on understanding there is wisdom. All this is because of some good karmas of the past. And however good karma I might have done, they are not eternal, the fruit is not eternal, going to stop. So now what I am doing now? I must make use of all this money, position, power, status that I have for the good of others. For my maintenance, for the maintenance of those who depend on me, and then for the good of others. For the good of others. So all the time he's generating love, compassion, goodwill, love, compassion, goodwill. All his actions, vocal, physical, mental, are for the good of others, good of others. He's planting seed of brightness. From brightness he's running towards brightness. From happiness he's running towards happiness. We should not remain in the first or the second category. We must remain in the third or the fourth. Third or fourth, we can't decide. At times the life will be full of darkness because of the past karmas. At times the life will be full of brightness because of the past karmas. But we are the master of the present karma. Buddha said, Attahi attano natho, attahi attano gati. You are your own master, nobody else. And you are the master of your future, nobody else. At least whatever happened in the past, but now you should not generate a single sankhara which will bring misery for you. You are your master. If you are master of the present, future is nothing but the child of the present. You be master of the present and see that your present is full of Dhamma, future will automatically be full of happiness. No darkness will be there for future. Develop this mastery of the present moment, and this is Vipassana. Be master of the present moment. At this moment, I am my own master. I won't plant any seed of misery. I won't plant any seed of darkness, only seed of brightness, seed of happiness, good for me and good for others. See that you practice it properly. The results are bound to come. Good results are bound to come. Understand the technique properly. The one day that you have to work seriously, take out as much defilements as you can and get established in the technique. You have to be aware of the sensations and equanimous with the sensation. Rest, leave to Dhamma. The results are bound to be good. Aware of sensation, equanimous to sensation. Aware of sensation, equanimous to sensation. Keep growing in Dhamma. Keep growing in Dhamma. Dhamma is so great, so wonderful. May you all get the best fruits of Dhamma. May you all enjoy real happiness, real peace, real harmony, real harmony. Sarva mangalam.